Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to another Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Selkirk's North Parish Church. And welcome to the second in our series of programmes about people who improved the world. The first one was about inventors and all their inventions which have so enriched our daily lives. This second programme is dedicated to creative artists who in their own way have also improved our world. When I say artists, you probably think first of all about painters. So let's start there. But as you know, and as you will hear later in other programmes, there are all kinds of artists. If I challenge you to quickly name an artist, there's a very good chance that you will name Leonardo da Vinci. Leonardo da Vinci, 1452 to 1519, is a good example of being an artist in a great many ways. He was a painter, sculptor, architect, scientist, polymath, a rare genius who embodied the ideal of the Renaissance man. He is most famous for his paintings, especially the Mona Lisa, but he had a penetrating intellect and an inquiring scientific mind. He was an observationalist scientist, compiling 13,000 pages of anatomical and botanical drawings, scientific diagrams, architectural designs and inventions. Some of his surviving pages include plans for a helicopter, would you believe? And remember, he's living in the 15th century. He had plans for a battle tank, which wasn't invented until 1916, 500 years later, a swing bridge, a calculator, shoes for walking on water, and even basic theories about the Earth's movement and plate tectonics. He was way ahead of his time. Leonardo da Vinci was born in 1452 as the illegitimate son of a peasant woman and a wealthy man. He had little education till he was 14 when he was apprenticed to the Florentine painter Andrea del Verrocchio. At 30, Leonardo moved to Milan to work as painter and engineer for the ruling duke Ludovico Sforza. He worked on a variety of projects, including architectural plans for the Dome of Milan Cathedral and designs for weapons, machinery and military fortifications. And in between all that, he found time to paint the Last Supper on the wall of the Santa Maria della Grazia Monastery in 1498. In 1500, he returned to Florence to work for the notorious Cesare Borgia, of the famous Borgia family. And it was then in 1504 that he painted the Mona Lisa, his best ever portrait and arguably the best portrait painting ever. He was so proud and fond of his masterpiece that he kept it with him at all times. For a time he lived in the Vatican, where he continued his studies of human anatomy. Then he spent his final years serving King Francis I of France. Leonardo da Vinci was a strong, handsome man, a good conversationalist with a fine singing voice. Unusually for the time, he was a strict vegetarian. His unflagging curiosity frequently led him to abandon one project and pursue another one. He was and is highly respected as an intellectual colossus and an artistic genius, and he died in 1519, 500 years ago. On a personal note, I remember sitting beside the Mona Lisa in the Louvre Museum in Paris with her enigmatic wry smile. I had an enigmatic wry smile on my face too, when I realised that all the tourists were looking at me rather than Mona Lisa, because they were exhausted and I was sitting on the only chair in the room. Anyway, here's a song about Mona Lisa, sung by Nat King Cole, followed by Matt Monro with a reference to our next artist.
Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with the mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they have blamed you for that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile? Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real? Mona Lisa, are just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art. Smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa. Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real? Mona Lisa, are just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art. Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa.
There could never be a portrait of my love, for nobody could paint a dream you will never see. A portrait of my love, for miracles I'm never seen. Anyone who sees her soon forgets the Mona Lisa it would take, I know. A Michelangelo, and he would need the glow of dawn that paints the sky above, to try and paint a portrait of my love.
take, I know, a Michelangelo, and he would need the glow of dawn that paints the sky above to try and paint a portrait of my love.
You are listening to the Holy Half Hour on 3TFM as we find out about great people who have improved the world. And in this particular program in the series, we're learning about creative artists. When I say creative artists, you probably immediately thought about Michelangelo, or to give him his full name, Michelangelo de Lodovico Buonarroti Simon, who was born in the small village of Caprese in Tuscany in 1475. At the age of 13, he knew he wanted to become a painter and sculptor, and his talent got him quickly into the household of Lorenzo de' Medici. The Medici family were incredibly rich and powerful. Only Michelangelo could rival the talent of his contemporary Leonardo da Vinci. Michelangelo is unrivaled as a sculptor. His most famous sculpture is the statue of David, the shepherd boy, who wrote Psalm 23 and slew Goliath and later became King David of Israel. The Wool Guild of Florence commissioned him to do this. Other artists looked at the 19-foot-high block of marble and couldn't think what to do with it. Michelangelo stared at it and saw inside it the statue of David. When it was completed in 1504, arches had to be pulled down and streets widened as 40 men took 5 days to get it into position in the Palazzo Vecchio. This great success led to his next wee job. Pope Julius II booked Michelangelo to come to Rome to work on his tomb. But once there, he was diverted to work on the Sistine Chapel ceiling in the Vatican, even though he was more of a sculptor than a painter. He tried to refuse the commission, but Pope Julius usually got his own way in those days, and he made Michelangelo an offer that no artist can refuse, namely, please yourself how you do it. It took 4 years of back-breaking, painstaking work, painting well over 300 larger-than-life figures, showing 9 scenes from the book of Genesis, surrounded by a variety of Old Testament subjects. When he finished the masterpiece, Michelangelo sent a message to his dad. I've finished the job on the roof, and the boss seems pleased with it. 3 decades later, in 1534, he returned to the Sistine Chapel to paint the Last Judgment behind the altar. When finally finished in 1541, it caused great controversy because of its considered at the time obscene nude figures. Well, when he was well past retirement age in his 70s, he was made chief architect of St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican. He refused any payment for what he considered to be sacred work. He was approaching 90 when he sculpted his final masterpiece, the Rondanini Pietà, appropriately to decorate his own tomb. It's a very moving statue of Jesus' mother Mary holding Jesus' dead body, just after he'd been taken down off the cross. And soon afterwards, Michelangelo died in 1564. I don't have a song about Michelangelo, but here is a song by John Denver, which honours all sculptors, and in particular the God who handmade Michelangelo and every other sculptor. It's based on a Bible passage in Jeremiah where God portrays himself as the cosmic potter, sculptor, artist who can create and destroy.
The world is fast becoming younger. The news is all they've ever known. They've seen the wars that hurt the hunger. How will they choose when they are grown? What do you tell forever's children when it's their turn to hurt and heal. Whatever spins, a grim tornado can also turn a potter's wheel. Take a little clay, put it on a wheel, get a little hint how God must feel. Give a little turn, listen to it spin, make it in the shape you want it in. Tell with your life a bloody story, teach to their dreams not burning steel. It's not in bombs where lies the glory, but in what's shattered on the field. The potter's wheel takes love and caring, skill and patience, fast and the works it makes are easily broken once they survive the potter's throw. Take a little clay, put it on a wheel, get a little hint how God must feel. Give a little turn, listen to it spin, make it in the shape you want it in. Someday some children will be digging in some long forgotten ground, and they'll find our civilization or what's left of it to be found. They'll find the weapons of destruction, but buried deeper in the find a message and a promise in the sand, the potter's bowl. Take a little clay, put it on a wheel, get a little hint how God must feel. Give a little turn, listen to it spin, make it in the shape you want it in. Take a little clay, put it on a wheel, get a little hint how God must feel. Give a little turn, listen to it spin, make it in the shape you want it in. Earth and water and wind conspire with human hands and love and fire. Take a little clay, put it on a wheel, give a little hint how God must feel. Give a little turn, listen to it spin, make it in the shape you want.
Many creative artists have improved our world, and another one is Pablo Picasso, 1881 to 1973, the Spanish painter and sculptor. Although Picasso painted in a wide variety of styles, he is best remembered for co-founding with Georges Braque Cubism, a school of art in which objects are broken up and reassembled in abstracted form and seen from a number of angles. He likes to look at the world from a sideways point of view, for example, his famous painting of a fish riding a bike. Picasso was born in Malaga in 1881. His dad, who was an artist and a professor, taught him to draw and paint. He obviously had inherited the talent for it, and at just 13 years old, Pablo was admitted to the School of Fine Arts in Barcelona. At 16, he enrolled in the leading art school in Spain, Madrid's Royal Academy. Then in 1900, age 19, he went to Paris, the European capital of art, setting up his own studio in the Arte Crafty district of Montmartre. His painting went through a blue period and then a pink period. Then he pioneered Cubism, which was a revolution in both painting and sculpture, which also influenced literature and music. His analytical cubism saw Picasso trying to render three-dimensional objects on flat canvas without resorting to the use of perspective, in other words, as flattened objects, as if a steamroller had run over them. In his synthetic cubism, newspaper clippings and other materials were used as part of the painting, creating the first collages in fine art. He also did classical style paintings too. In 1937 he produced Guernica, arguably his best known work, which reflected his horror at the bombing of the Basque town during the Spanish Civil War. He was also a prolific sculptor, but he tended to keep his sculptures in his own collection, and they were only discovered after his death. His paintings are amongst the most valuable in the world. For example, one of them, Garçon à la Pipe, sold for £104 million back in 2004. He opened up new avenues for self-expression, and his influence on art is incalculable. Here's a famous number one Top of the Pops hit by Don McLean about another artist, Vincent van Gogh.
Starry, starry night, paint your palette blue and grey. Look out on a summer's day with eyes that know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hills, sketch the trees and the daffodils. Catch the breeze and the winter chills in colors on the snowy linen land. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now. Starry, starry night, flaming flowers that brightly blaze, swirling clouds in violet haze, reflect in Vincent's eyes of china blue, colors changing hue. Morning fields of amber grain, weathered faces lined in pain, are soothed beneath the artist's loving hand. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen. For they could not love.
Artistic people see more than other people do. They have the artist's eye. In the same way, musicians hear more than other people hear. They have the ear for music. Gourmet chefs taste more than other people, and so on. I was reading about a little girl who stood silently watching her Sunday school teacher for several minutes. Then she broke the silence. "What are you looking at, teacher?" "The sunset, Maria. Isn't it beautiful?" After a slight pause, "May I run home and tell my mum to look?" "I think your mother knows that there's a sunset, Maria." "Oh no, she doesn't. She's never thought to look up at it. We don't know it's so beautiful at home." Artists like Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, Picasso, and Van Gogh open our eyes to see things like sunsets and landscapes and flowers. Listen to this poem by C.W. Sayers. "One midnight, deep in starlight still, I dreamed that I received this bill in account with life. 5,000 breathless dawns all new, 5,000 flowers fresh and dew. 1,000,000 snowflakes served ice cold, 5 quiet friends, 1 baby's love. 1 white mad sea with clouds above, 100 music-haunted dreams, moon-drenched roads and hurrying streams, a prophesying wind and trees, a silent star and browsing bees, 1 June night in the fragrant woods, 1 heart that loved and understood, I wondered when I woke that day how in God's name I could pay. God, the creator of all things bright and beautiful, creates creatures like us. That is, creatures who in turn can also create, and who can co-create with each other and with God. This is wonderful and beautiful. It's such a privilege and such a responsibility. We can create for good or for ill. We can create beautiful things, and we can also create havoc. The challenge is, will we create for good and not ill? Will we create for the good of others? Will we co-create with God and for God? And in so doing, we too will be people who improve the world. May God enable you to do so. So bye for now, and I leave you with Dolly Parton singing in praise of God, the cosmic artist.
Today as I was walking in the fields just down the way, I sat down on a fallen log to pass the time away. And as I looked around me, the more that I did look, the more I realized that I was viewing God's coloring book. Golden ray of sunlight, a silver drop of dew, the whiteness in a floating cloud, the sky of baby blue, a yellow dandelion, pretty evergreen, and some red and orange flowers growing wild along the stream. As I looked around me, more than coloring book, grayness in an old man's hair, the pink in baby's cheek, the blackness in a stormy sky, the brown in fallen leaves, the purple haze at sunset just before the night, and the multicolored rainbow stretched out across the sky. As I look around me, more than coloring book, then I turned my face towards the sky and set aside a prayer. Though God doesn't speak to me, I see Him everywhere. He is all around me, everywhere I look, and each new day is just a new page in God's coloring book.